Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 7:07 here on a Thursday night. Steve Thompson in for Mike Max. Rare night off for Maxie. Timberwolves were on the road at Memphis on Wednesday night. They will host Golden State tomorrow night at Target Center. Our pregame at 6:30. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play here on the home of the Timberwolves. Denver in town for a Sunday matinee. Love those matinees. By the way, we'll talk more Timberwolves in a moment. Kevin Lynch joining us. First, couple other headlines. Big game at the U. Minnesota Penn State on Saturday. I have heard they're very close to selling out TCF Bank Stadium. Vikes on the road at Dallas Sunday night. Sunday night football. There is a Thursday night game tonight. The LA Chargers are in Oakland to play the Raiders. The Raiders slight underdogs at home in the Coliseum. High school football playoffs, 6A quarterfinals, two games tonight. Rosemont and Champlin Park getting underway at Park Center. Meanwhile, in Stillwater, Shakopee against Lakeville North. By the way, we will have the 6A title game from Prep Bowl that Friday night after Thanksgiving at 7 o'clock. And then we'll have the 5A title game on Saturday from U.S. Bank Stadium. That'll get started about 4 o'clock here on CCO. We'll have some more volleyball results a little bit later on. Kevin Lynch joins us, Fox Sports North television analyst. Kev, how you been?
Good, good. Hey, are you and Eric going to be doing the high school prep bowl game?
Yes, we will on Friday night. Then Eric's headed out of town, and then I'll be doing the game on Saturday with the guest analyst to be announced.
Oh, is my phone going to ring? I'm a former high school football player. Come on.
If you're willing. I mean, I've never had more fun in my life than the couple of years I was on the road doing Golden Gopher hoops with you.
Well,
I
understand. I always say this to you when we talk, not always, but many times, all the fun that you and I had with Mark Costell up in Anchorage, Alaska for the Great Alaska Shootout in the mid-2000s. That was fun.
Yeah, it goes back a long, long time. I didn't know I was that old, but it was good times. Kev, always good to see you back on Fox Sports North talking Timberwolves. And I sent out a tweet before I went to bed last night, and I want to get your thoughts on this. I sent out a grisly performance for the Timberwolves in Memphis. They didn't D it up much at all, did they?
No. You know, Memphis is really not they're a team kind of in transition after all, over a decade with Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. And then they got, a couple good young players in Jaren Jackson Jr., and then Ja Morant. So, they're kind of starting over in some ways, and they're not a great offensive team. So for the Wolves to, allow Memphis to score whatever it was, 137 points or something, is not a good defensive performance. So the Wolves got to clean that up.
Yeah, 121 should be enough to get it done if you're able to play any defense at all. And really, for the second game in a row, of course, you've got the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the better teams in the NBA's Eastern Conference, beat the Timberwolves 134-106 at Target Center. But, yeah, on the road, Memphis, home to Memphis, whatever, 137, that's not good.
No, you kind of looked at this week and you thought, okay, Milwaukee, that's going to be a tough one. They're one of the top teams. They might be in the finals come next spring, summer, whatever. But then you thought, okay, Memphis, that's a winnable game. And then, of course, everything going on with Golden State, that's definitely a winnable game. So, to lose that one last night, that's tough. If you're the Wolves, you got off to a good start, maybe a better start than a lot of people expected so far, just through, seven games. But try to stay above that 500 mark as long as you can, because once all these heavyweights from the Western Conference come in, it's going to get, more difficult than, Memphis or Charlotte or teams like that. So it's going to get tougher.
Yeah, for sure. Karl-Anthony Towns returned to the lineup last night. And Karl Anthony Towns has had some really good games, and maybe it was to two games off, hard to tell, but it wasn't his best performance of the year in Memphis.
No, he it's kind of weird. You know, he took 19 shots last night, but it seems like as the game wore on, it seemed like he hardly touched the ball. But obviously he was getting his shots, and that's enough to, you know, what did he get, 25 points, something like that. It's pretty close to his season average. So he was getting his attempts, but, yeah, he just didn't play. He didn't play great. You know, we're so used to, he set such a high standard, and, you know, he's always, pretty much every night he kind of dominates. But it was a quiet, 25 points and 13 rebounds last night. And you know, the focus, obviously, with a game like that is defense and the lack of defense. So, yeah, I don't know if he was rusty or what, you know, sitting out and not after the suspension with the fight with Joel Embiid. But I would anticipate tomorrow he'll have a really good game at home.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of focus about getting Andrew Wiggins going. He had 30 last night. Pretty solid game. What's your read on Andrew Wiggins? And it seems to be job one for Ryan Saunders, yeah, and this staff to get more out of this guy. If the Timberwolves are going to have any chance over the long haul in the 2019-2020 season, Andrew Wiggins needs to be better. It's no secret.
No, everybody kind of knows, yeah, that one. And yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, you watch how Tom Thibodeau dealt with Andrew Wiggins, and now Ryan Saunders and Sam Mitchell when he was that one year he was coaching. You know, it's like all these you know, head coaches and then the entire coaching staff, their whole goal is to, you know, you know, to get him going and try to push the right, learn which buttons to push and how can we get this guy going? How can we maximize, you know, whatever talent he's got? And obviously they're paying him a lot of money too. So, you know, let me say this about Wiggins, at least this year. And I think maybe even moving forward here in the next year or two I think he's, I don't know if happy is the right word, but he seems comfortable with Saunders as the coach. I know they have a pretty good relationship. And, you know, I think Andrew Wiggins might be one of those personalities where you kind of have to do that. You kind of have to massage him and kind of be whispering in his ear constantly to get him going and to light a fire and find the buttons to push or whatever you want to say. And that's what they're just – this is just another coaching staff that's doing kind of the same thing that we've seen even out of – you know, Thibodeau did it. I think Sam Mitchell, like I said, did it too. So you have guys like Towns or guys like Kevin Love who played here a bunch of years where you just unleash them and they just play well no matter what. No matter if you're coaching them hard or coaching them soft, they just play well. Or Andrew Wiggins might be a little bit different where you have to stay on top of him to keep him engaged. So – he played well last night. I thought offensively, you know, he seemed like he was pretty into it. But if they can, you know, stay on top of him where he's, you know, playing with his A game, then they got a shot to have a good season.
Yeah, because when he is playing well, I yeah, think at some games, for whatever reason, against Oklahoma City in recent memory,
yeah,
seems to play really well against the Thunder and you know, there's times where it's like, this guy looks like he was the number one overall pick. He looks like a max money type guy, but there are far and few between.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it just seems like, you know, he's been so inconsistent. That's the thing on him, you know. It's just he's so inconsistent. And I do think that bothers some people. It's kind of like Joe Mauer with the Twins. You know, obviously Mauer was a good player for a long time, but people would kind of get fired up about the fact that Mauer was just such a calm personality, and it just seemed like he felt so soft-spoken and so methodical when Mauer would take at-bats. And I think Wiggins kind of has that just understated, you know, reserved personality that sometimes, you know, some people want to see the yelling and screaming out of him. It's just not going to be – that's not who he is. So, yeah, I mean, hey, whatever works with this guy, if it means, you know, Ryan Saunders has to kind of, like I said, I kind of describe it as massage Wiggins, you know, all season. That keeps him going. That's fine with me. So hopefully he can, you know, stay in that mode where he's playing well and do it consistently. That's kind of the thing that frustrates people a lot.
What about Jared Culver? What have you seen out of him so far? It's a small sample size over the grind of an NBA season. We'll see how it plays out for Culver, but what do you see in his game so far, Kip?
Yeah, a good athlete. He's so raw. He's so 20 years old. He's so young, and it seems like what they've tried to do is just have him go play, and they don't really. Hopefully, they're not filling his head with too many things, because he looks like a guy that right now just needs to find his way. And if you overcoach him, then he gets too many things in his head. And one thing that will help Culver is, you know, as soon as you can, kind of decide what he is, like what position he plays. I mean, I've heard some point guard, but I'm not so sure that's going to be his best position. He's a good ball handler. I think he's like a wing, like a shooting guard wing type of player that can handle the ball a little bit and step in and play some point guard at times. But, you know, if what Flip did with Zach LaVine, and I really agreed with Flip when LaVine was a rookie. I don't know if you remember this, Steve, but you know, he was kind of pretty quickly showing some good ball handling skills. And so Flip tried him that first year as a point guard. He tried it a lot just to see, you know, spend that 1 year just to see if that position works for him. And I don't know if the Wolves are going to do that with Culver or not. It might be worth a shot, but I think the sooner that you get a guy like LaVine into that shooting guard spot, then he can kind of take off. And I think the same thing kind of might happen with Culver. I don't know if he's quite the athlete that LaVine is, but to me, he's a wing guy that can score a little bit, and that can handle the ball, so he can try some point guard at times. And he's big enough, if you ask me, to play some small forward too. So he's kind of got some versatility that will help his cause. But I like what I've seen out of him. He seems like a really nice young kid, and apparently he's a really hard worker too. So if that's true, then he'll have some success.
Kevin Lynch joining us, Timberwolves analyst, Fox Sports North. Wolves fall on the road to the Grizzlies. Reeling Golden State team comes in on Friday night. You'll hear it here beginning at 6:30. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. Jeff Teague, illness, not in the lineup right now. And, you know, when Teague's not in there, trying to figure out who's going to play the point. Of course, Tyus Jones downriver in Memphis playing for the Grizzlies right now. And that's kind of an open spot. What are the Wolves going to do over the long haul? Because you'd expect that at some point the Timberwolves are going to need to find, yeah, you know, a number one point guard beyond Jeff Teague.
Yeah, you know, Teague's the oldest guy in the team. And, yeah, I can't, you know, they're paying him a lot of dough, but this is the last year of the contract, so unless Teague, you know, just has a great season or, you know, a career type of year, I mean, I would assume he wouldn't be back next year because they're not going to want to pay. But they need somebody younger, if you ask me. So I don't know if that's going to be Shabazz Napier, a guy who I've liked really since he was at Connecticut in college. And it's been interesting that he's floated around as much as he has. So, but he'll get his shot. But, yeah, that's huge. They got to get a difference maker point guard for sure. And, you know, I don't know how you're going to do that, you know, in the draft, maybe next summer, maybe it's Napier, maybe it's somebody else, maybe it's Culver. I don't know. But doesn't it seem like teams at that level, Steve, you know, you don't really win unless you have a guy at that spot that can, you know, make enough plays and play well enough where it really helps the team and pulls it all together. And again, Teague, I don't anticipate it's going to be Jeff Teague after this year, but that's a big question mark moving forward is what they're going to do at that spot. So right now it might be just kind of a throwaway season as far as the point guard position, but at some point they're going to have. Well, they tried to address it last summer with the draft. If that Garland, Darius Garland, that Cleveland drafted right before the Wolves, mm-hmm, and then the Wolves took Culver. I think the Wolves moved up to try to get Garland because they want a point guard. So at some point, whether it's this season or it's next summer in the draft, I don't know, it's going to have to be addressed. That's going to be huge.
Yeah, and wouldn't it be something if next summer Trey Jones happens to be available, who, by the way, is playing pretty well for Duke. And granted, early I saw him in the State Farm tournament at Madison Square Garden, had a pretty good game.
I haven't seen. Have you looked up any of the mock drafts, like where they're kind of anticipating?
No, I haven't,
because I haven't done that yet with Jones.
Yeah, and you know, I would assume after this year at Duke, you know, Jones would be available. And one game sample so far this season looked pretty good in Madison Square Garden for the Duke Blue Devils.
One thing about Trey Jones, and we saw this when he was in high school at Apple Valley, is, you know, my concern with him, I would assume that Jones, one of the major reasons he stayed at Duke and didn't leave, because he might have gotten drafted this past summer here, had he gone out, but the lack of shooting. He's not a – that's a big difference between the two, you know, Jones brothers. Tyus is a pretty good shooter. Now, the percentages, you know, aren't great, but he's a guy who can make some threes, you know, where Trey – Jones really kind of struggles with that shot, and like I said, I would assume he's worked a lot on that, but to me it's a big problem. If you're a point guard at this level, the way the game is played now, and you struggle with confidence or mechanics or something, and we saw that with Rubio.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's going to be a problem, so it'll be interesting. In fact, when Duke played the other night, I'm trying to think, I looked at the box score, and I don't think Jones made a three in that. I think he was 0-for-4, I think, but yeah, hopefully that jumper is feeling a bit better. And if it does, then it's all the other pieces are there for Trey Jones.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked a lot about Ricky Rubio over the years. He brings so many other things to the table, but just an absolute liability from downtown or outside the arc, if you will. And that held Ricky Rubio back because he brings so many things. He sees the floor well. He passes the ball beautifully. And he's a pretty good team defender, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, big. Yeah. Rubio committed to, you know, there's a lot of good things to like about Ricky Rubio. The shooting. You should go on YouTube at some point, Steve, and check out. Watch last season when Philadelphia played the Lakers when LeBron James was guarding Ben Simmons for Philadelphia. Now, sure. Simmons he's a big problem for the Sixers because he just doesn't even shoot outside shots. I mean, it's. And so I don't remember if the game was in Philadelphia. You should look it up. You can just find it on YouTube.
Sure.
how LeBron just sat in the lane. I mean, literally 15, 20 feet, just gave Simmons open threes, open 18-footers, and Simmons still wouldn't shoot. And that's kind of what was going on with Rubio. Teams are starting to – that's why it was such a big problem is the defenders wouldn't even guard him, and then they'd sink into the paint and just play a zone, and they'd clog up your entire offense. So I don't care if it's Rubio, if it's Ben Simmons, or it's somebody else as a point guard. If you can't make some outside shots, you put so much pressure on your teammates – and then the guy guarding the point guard that can't shoot just sits in the lane and clogs everything up, and it's a big problem. So you don't have to be a great three-point shooter, but you have to be a guy who's willing to take some 18, 19-footers or something just to pull that guy closer to you as you're playing. So it's a big deal.
So Timberwolves back at it against Golden State, and it's amazing. Kevin Durant gets hurt, leaves town, signs with Brooklyn, And Golden State, it's just a mess, just like that.
I know. Yeah, look at just a year ago, they were talking about this is a historic team, a historic run that Golden State's on. Durant is gone. He's out for the season. He's not on that team anymore. Klay Thompson is probably not going to play this year. Curry, I would be very surprised if he plays the rest of this year as well. Then Draymond Green is hurt. D'Angelo Russell, I'm not sure if he's going to play tomorrow night, but yeah, how things can change. And I think, in fact, I just saw somewhere yesterday or today, I was looking up some stuff online and how just there's some behind the scenes stuff that didn't come out a year ago with Golden State. And I don't know if, you know, Steve Kerr was a part of it, but obviously there's some stuff going on with that team the last couple of years. So things have changed. But what a run that team went on, and so it's. It's good for the Wolves get a win tomorrow night against a team that's hurting. I don't feel sorry for that team at all.
Yeah, and Golden State, the G now for G League, or the way they're coming.
Yeah, I like that.
It's amazing. Now, it's crazy though. In 1 year, Golden State. Let's face it. If you laid down a wager, it'd be Golden State's probably going to win it all. A year ago today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now here we are, late 2019, and all sorts of problems. Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, it's just kind of like the modern day NBA players. A guy like Durant, you know, it's funny how he's just turned into a guy who just moving around and it's probably has to do with his brand. You know, moves out to the Bay Area, and I know he was involved in some businesses out there. He probably got those established, won a couple championships, and you know, now he's in the New York area. I'm sure he's doing the same kind of business dealings out there to make a lot, you know, even more money than he's already stinking rich. And it's like, you know, and then we'll see what happens with Brooklyn once he's healthy. But yeah, the moving around to some of these players like Kevin Durant, it, you know, some people it probably doesn't bother them. For me, it's like I kind of change how I think of the guy with moving around like that. But I will say this about the NBA this season. It seems like there's a handful of teams now that could potentially get to the championship and win it all. So I guess that does make it interesting.
Yeah, and a couple in the East have a shot for sure. We know Toronto, the defending champs. We already brought up the Milwaukee Bucks. They're certainly in play. And then, of course, the two teams in L.A., and it should be a fun season. Kev, always great. Thanks for taking the time. We look forward to seeing you on Fox Sports North.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Have a great night. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Kevin Lynch, Fox Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. Quick break. We've got much more coming up on a Thursday night, Sports to the Max.
Sports to the Max.
7:31 here on a Thursday night, Sports to the Max. Steve in for Mike. Still to come on the program, we're going to go outdoors. Our good buddy Steve Carney will join us here on CCO. Scoreboard update, Champlain Park, Rosemont, 6A quarterfinal at Park Center tonight in the cold. Champlain Park leading at 6-0, quarter number two. We'll continue to keep an eye on that. We'll try and get an update on Shakopee and Lakeville North. The other 6A quarterfinal underway tonight, and they're playing in the cold out at Stillwater, and that's scoreless in quarter number two. So the cold's certainly a factor in those two playoff games. The other two 6A quarterfinals tomorrow night, and all the 5A through 9-man games in the football playoffs are either Friday or Saturday around the state of Minnesota. 7:32, quick break. We'll update the weather, then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. Firearms deer season opens Saturday. We'll visit with our good buddy Steve Carney in a moment.
Sports to the Max.
Scoreboard updates on those high school football games, 6A quarterfinals tonight. Lakeville North and Shakopee playing in the cold in Stillwater. Scoreless quarter number two. Meanwhile, at Park Center tonight, Rosemount just scored a touchdown, hit the extra point. They lead Champlain Park 7-6. The winners get to go indoors next week, the semifinals at U.S. Bank Stadium. We hope to get results out of volleyball before we say goodbye tonight. Of course, quarterfinal action in volleyball. They're still playing 2A and underway this evening in 2A. Marshall and Bell Plain and North Branch and Pequot Lakes. They have two courts at the Excel Energy Center, a big curtain in the middle. It's really cool. Stuartville beat Annandale 3 sets to none in a late afternoon match in 2A, and Concordia Academy swept Watertown Mayor 3-0 to advance to tomorrow's semifinal action. 1A and 3A already set. Let's go outdoors. Steve Carney joins us. Steve Carney, outdoors.com. And Steve, it feels like December in these parts. This is unbelievable how the cold settled in.
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening, Steve. Yes, it's not very normal. It's darn cold out there. I can see the legions of deer hunters coming up 94 with their orange and their four-wheelers, and they're all coming. So it's going to happen no matter what in 36 hours, so everybody's kind of gearing up.
Yeah, the bow hunters have had the woods to themselves. And now the firearms hunters come out, and this is quite an annual tradition. And, Steve, one of the things we've talked about really is what an unusual year it's been weather-wise for many spots, the wettest year on record. And that's still having an impact because there's still a lot of corn out there, and it's going to make this a challenging hunt.
Yeah, definitely, Steve. I was out kind of moving around by Fergus Falls today, and I'll tell you, I'd say about 80% of the corn is still up, and I think that's going to be a real hindrance for the hunters this weekend. You know, the farmers have been out there 24/7. They've been combining at night and going as fast as they can, but I just don't think it's going to happen by Saturday, and I think that's going to be an issue statewide. There's just corn everywhere, and it's going to be a hindrance just because those deer are in the corn. You can't get them out, and it's going to be kind of tough sledding. I'm going to be at the governor's brunch tomorrow in Fergus Falls in the morning, kind of a little media thing for the governor's opener, which is going to be in the Fergus Falls Otter Tail area. So that's going to be kind of fun. But I think it's going to be not quite what we're used to. So people are kind of, you know, a little hesitant, but they're going anyway because it's, you know, it's a big deal and they live for this type of thing.
Well, and congrats on that invite. They probably saw that big buck you took by bow and figured we got to get some advice from Steve Kearney.
Well, I think they figured I'm done, so I'm no threat, you know. I got my 12-pointer about a month ago, and
yeah.
I had a doe last week, and they probably figured, well, he's done. He's not going to be a problem. So I think they're inviting me because I'm just, I'm done. I'm safe.
Yeah, it is a great tradition. We bring it up, of course, the Inland Walleye opener, of course, in the spring, and the Firearms Deer opener here in November. Those are two of the really big events in the outdoors, for sure.
Yeah, they are, and, you know, this is going to showcase, you know, the Fergus Falls area quite a bit, and, you know, it's a good thing, and it's, you know, a great area in northwestern Minnesota. But, you know, there's a ton of public land out here. That's what I'm sort of trying to find out about. The pheasant situation is really improving. As they get the corn down, a lot of these pheasants are starting to show up in these public areas. And I think a lot of these public areas up in this northwestern part of the state just don't get hit that hard. And I'm seeing birds popping out on the roadways now. And I think the late season pheasant hunters are going to do very, very well on that I-94 corridor that you and I have talked about for years. And I can tell when they're coming out now with the corn still up, it's going to be good in December and late November.
Yeah, and Steve, I've heard good things. A guy I work with during the week says they've had a fair amount of success out in western Minnesota already bagging some pheasants.
I think, you know, a lot of the early season hunters have just, you know, given up because there's so much corn. And, you know, the majority of the pheasant hunters are out very early in the season, the first couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And then when it gets cold and kind of nasty, they all kind of quit. And that's really the time you want to start. And once they get this corn down and it stays cold, there's going to be birds popping out all over the place that have never been hassled. They've never been hunted. And that's when the public lands will really come around. And I think it's going to be a great late November and a great December. A little bit of snow is certainly going to help. But I think just because the corn is up, it's really, you know, kind of kept people away. So I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a banner November and December.
Steve Kearney joining us. Steve Kearney Outdoors. We typically visit with Steve on the weekends. Good enough to join us here on a Thursday night. And, of course, Mike Max, Ron Scherer, live outdoors, typically on Monday nights. But we should point out, next week they're going to be on Tuesday night. Mike Max, Ron Scherer, next Tuesday night at 7 here on CCO. Steve, is it too early to bring up ice fishing? I know it's cold. We're nowhere near being out on the water, but I know those anglers that love to be out on the ice, they're thinking about it.
You know, Steve, actually it's started already, if you can believe it. There's a few people walking out in some of the lakes up in the northwest up here. There's probably 2 inches of ice,
wow.
And some of the diehards are actually walking out already. I think it's going to be probably viable ice here in about a week or 10 days because
wow.
It's cold. I mean, it's going to be single digits at night the next week. It's going to be probably a couple of weeks ahead from what it normally is. So I've already got my stuff out. I've got my house and augers, everything already ready to go. So it could be 10 days before we start walking out. So good timing, actually.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing how quickly things have changed. And that's what's, you know, we're going to remember 2019. Very unusual year weather-wise. Just things have been all messed up all year, Steve.
You know, we never got the Indian summer we normally get. You know, sometimes it's 75, 80 degrees around Thanksgiving. we're never going to get that. And we totally missed that whole window of the Indian summer type thing. And it just, you know, the thermometer went down and it stayed down. And this is what we're going to get. We're stuck with this 20s and 30s and 40s, and it's going to be that. But, you know, we're going to get early ice. We're going to be on the ice well before Thanksgiving, maybe 2-3 weeks ahead of time. So that's good, too. So you just got to kind of roll with it. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and those ice fishing shows that are so popular are coming up here pretty quick.
Yep, the big one is December 7th in St. Paul. That is a crazy show. It's probably the busiest, most crazy sports show I've ever been to. And I'm going to be in the Bexalar booth on Saturday. And they get 25, 30,000 people through there in 2 days. It's crazy. But, you know, that's the hardcore people that go through there. And looking forward to that. It's going to be really fun.
All right, Steve, always good to visit with you. Enjoy your time at the Governor's Hunt brunch tomorrow. And good luck, and have a safe hunt to all those firearms deer hunters that are going to be out there on Saturday.
I can see them coming up 94 already, Steve-O.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, Steve, thanks.
Take care, man. Bye.
Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Once again, we typically visit with him on Sundays here on CCO. We have a Timberwolves matinee, so it's not going to pan out this week. But once again, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. 7:45 here at CCO. Quick scoreboard update. High school football scores courtesy of PrepSpotlight.tv. Shakopee leading Lakeville North in Stillwater tonight. This is one of the two 6A quarterfinals tonight. Shakopee leads at 7-0, so the defending champs are down in quarter number two. Meanwhile, at Park Center tonight, Champlain Park leading Rosemount 13-7. Bitterly cold for the football tonight, and that game in quarter number two as well. We have a whole lot more coming up here on Sports to the Max. More about some good news, Silver Slugger Awards. Two Twins were honored. We'll have a rundown of some of the big names on the American League and National League Silver Slugger teams. That's coming up in a moment here on Sports to the Max here on the CCO.
Sports to the Max.
It is Sports to the Max. Aaron, a chilly Thursday night. Too chilly as far as I'm concerned for this time of year. 21 degrees, and they're playing high school football. They've gone to the half in Stillwater. Shakopee leading defending champ Lakeville North 7-0 at the half. Meanwhile, Champlain Park leading Rosemount 13-7, second quarter. That's up at Park Center. We'll continue to keep an eye on those for you tonight. Now, let's talk about something that'll bring back memories of summer. And what a summer it was at Target Field. The Twins go on to win the American League Central Division. Unfortunately, fallen three straight to the Yankees in the division round of the American League playoffs. But a couple of Twins were honored. 2019 Silver Slugger team was announced. And the catcher for the American League, Mitch Garver of the Twins. At first, Carlos Santana, Cleveland. At second base, DJ LeMahieu from New York. At third base, Alex Bregman from Houston. At short, Xander Bogaerts from Boston. In the outfield, Mookie Betts from the Red Sox. Mike Trout from the Angels. And George Springer from the American League champ, Astros. The DH, Nelson Cruz of the Twins. So, two Silver Sluggers, the Twins, Garver at catcher, and Nelson Cruz at the DH spot. Over in the NL, on the outfield, Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers was honored. And how about this? Guess what pitcher in the NL won the Silver Slugger? Zach Greinke gets it. For the Arizona Diamondbacks, even though he ended up with the American League champ Houston Astros. So Greinke wins the Silver Slugger, even though he ended the year in the AL. And I'll get this rant out of the way early in the hot stove season. When is the NL going to abandon the idea of pitchers hitting? Nobody wants to watch pitcher. I don't want to watch a pitcher hit. It just is preposterous to me that they hang on to that. When are they going to standardize this thing? And that's one of the things I despise about interleague play. The Twins go to an NL park, and their pitchers have to hit. The only time during the regular season, the only other time would be during the World Series. Standardize this thing. Bring the DH in. It just is ridiculous to me. It's one of those traditions that needs to go away. Maybe you disagree, and I guess I'd love to hear from you. You can call or text 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Why not? On a chilly night in November, let's argue about the DH. I am 100% in favor of the DH. I do not want to see pitchers hit. I don't want to see them lay down a bunt or attempt to hit and not get hurt. I just don't want no part of it. Get rid of it. Bring the DH to both leagues. I don't want to see pitchers hitting anymore. Speaking of the major leagues, once again, trying to warm up a little bit on this chilly Thursday night. Mets first baseman Pete Alonso and Houston slugger Jordan Alvarez have been picked as this year's top rookies by Baseball Digest. Alonso was a unanimous choice in the NL. Alvarez received 6 of 7 first-place votes to take the AL honor. And the other one went to Eloy Jimenez of the White Sox. Good young team. White Sox, you know, finished well back in the standings, but I would say in the next year or two, they will become a major threat in the American League Central Division. Some other MLB news. Astros president Reed Ryan is shifting to a lesser role in the organization, and owner Jim Crane's son is joining the executive team. Moves announced 11 days after Crane apologized to a Sports Illustrated reporter and retracted a statement by the club accusing her of trying to fabricate a story. That just turned into a mess, and I think turned a lot of people on the Astros. That certainly was a big story in the postseason. So that's what's going on in the big league. Little NFL news, and we will talk more purple coming up after 8 o'clock tonight. As the Vikes get ready to play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, we'll hear from offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski and what he perceives as the biggest threats from the Cowboys' defense. And same thing from his counterpart, defensive coordinator George Edwards, on what concerns him about the Cowboys' offense coming up on Sunday night. And of course, when it comes to the Vikings and the Cowboys, we'll have you covered. Our Purple pregame show at 6 Sunday evening. Henry Lake with our Purple halftime. And then, of course, our Purple Sunday postgame show with Henry Lake and Jeff Diamond late Sunday night after the Vikings and Cowboys. But little NFL news here. Kareem Hunt can play again after serving his 8-game NFL suspension. The Browns running back will play this week against the Bills, who are surprisingly good this year. You have to put the Niners and the Bills among two of the bigger surprises in the NFL this year. Anyway, Hunt's been practicing for 2 weeks. He was officially reinstated to the roster this week and eligible to be on the field Sunday. It'll be his first game since being banned for 2 physical off-field altercations, including one with a woman. And I brought this up early in the show, and I want to bring it up again. This is a lot of fun. The elusive black cat from Monday Night Football is still on the run. MetLife Stadium officials say the search for the cat has been fruitless. They have not been able to find this cat. And the video went viral. Kevin Harlan's call on Westwood One. It's just absolutely classic. Cat scored a touchdown, according to Kevin Harlan. They've tried humane traps, all sorts. And you would think there's plenty of spots to hide for a cat in a gigantic stadium. You would think that, or unless he just got out of there and is somewhere else in Jersey, you know, doing his thing, got out of Dodge. Well, there you go. but the Cat is still on the loose. We should point out Timberwolves on the radio tomorrow night. The reeling Golden State Warriors in town. Our coverage begins at 6:30. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play here on the home of the Timberwolves. News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.